You know, the first service was full of Navy folks, and they told us that they would give the Marines a ride wherever they needed a ride. So all the smart veterans come to this service. All the Air Force guys or Army guys are here today. Hey, we're so glad that you're here today. We have a tradition here not only of welcoming and thanking our veterans, but we endorse as a church two chaplains. Our fellowship of churches across the country has a program called the Eagle Commission. And in order to be a chaplain in the service, you have to be endorsed by your fellowship, which the Caris Fellowship we're part of. We have an endorsing agent named Mark Penfold, and we have an office called the Eagle Commission where our fellowship endorses a couple of dozen chaplains around the world. You also have to be endorsed by a local church. And we're privileged to endorse two chaplains here at Auburn Grace. Many of you know Colonel George Ustra, who's been here many times. He's retired now, but we were his endorsing church. And a couple of years ago, we were privileged to endorse Phil and Penny Smith. Phil is the captain down at Travis Air Force Base, and he's going to be sharing with us in a couple of minutes. And I just want you to know that these folks work hard to bring Jesus to our military personnel around the world. And they're doing a great job. It's difficult to share Jesus in that environment, and God has given them a strong calling and a strong heart to do so. A lot of great things are happening. The military is a place where we can still freely share Jesus and his gospel truth about salvation and grace and forgiveness. And so we're excited about that. When Chaplain Phil comes and shares in a few minutes, I want you to know he's going to be sharing from his heart. These last months and couple of years in service have been a difficult season for them. And they've remained strong and faithful, and we're so proud of you guys as you stayed faithful to your calling, and God is using you in such a mighty way. But pay attention to what Phil shares with us, because he's not going to talk a lot about his personal issues, but he's going to be sharing from that perspective. And so it's going to be really great and really encouraging. Before he comes, we want to just show you a short video put together by our national agency called Eagle Commission. And they're going to say thank you to all of our veterans, and then Phil is going to come and share. So enjoy the video just for a moment here.
A veteran is someone who at one point in his or her life wrote a blank check payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including his or her life, to keep America free and the world safe. They are all heroes to me, and I am humbled and privileged to have served with them and to know so many of those incredible men and women. A veteran is a 90-year-old man in a wheelchair, sitting, staring out a window of a VA hospital, who everyone on his staff calls sir. She is the nurse who fought to save life and limbs and went to sleep for 2 years, sobbing most nights in frustration in the Da Nang Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. He's the boy next door who went away to Afghanistan and came back another person. So remember, each time you see someone who served our country, just lean over and say thank you. That's all most need, and it will mean more to them than all the medals they could have possibly ever earned.
Well, good morning. It is an absolute pleasure to be here on this Veterans Memorial Sunday to share with you the word of the Lord, and just to honor those that have served and that are serving. To those that have served, that stood up, and yeah, Air Force, we own this service, so way to go. Thank you for your service. Those of us who currently serve, whether it be, you know, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, it doesn't matter. We stand on your shoulders, and you guys have served faithfully before, and you'd answered the call, whether it was by draft and you didn't have the choice, or as a volunteer you could, but you answered the call. And so I personally want to say thank you for your commitment, your faithfulness to our country and to upholding who we are. So thank you so much. Absolutely. Okay, so before I get started, I need to just give a little bit of a warning. One of the responsibilities that you have as a chaplain is once every 6 or 7 weeks or so, you're the duty chaplain, which means if there's an emergency on base or somebody needs to talk to a chaplain, they call the command post and they forward that call to the duty chaplain. That just so happens to be me this weekend. Yeah, so if I, in the middle of this message, and if I just kind of go, hey, I'll be right back, I got a phone call to take, and, you know, Pastor Sparling was there at the first service, so was Dave, and I said, you guys will figure it out. I don't know where they went to. You guys will figure it out, I guess. But this weekend really is an opportunity for us as a country, as a nation, to say thank you for your service. And no matter the time or the place or the setting that you served in, you did answer that call. And in doing so, the places that you served, oftentimes in mundane daily tasks. And then unfortunately, you've also served in some of the worst that humanity has to offer. Thank you. As we say thank you to those that have served, in a strange way, it kind of makes me think about my baseball and football card collection. Follow me for a second here. First off, how many in here collected cards as a kid? We got anybody? Yeah. All right, cool. Anybody's mom throw away their collection? Man. And here's why. I don't know if you guys, you probably don't follow this, but just recently, there was a 1952 Mickey Mantle card that sold for $12.6 million. So mothers, don't throw away your kid's retirement fund, all right? Just let them hold on to it. My collection isn't nearly as impressive, right? I grew up in the 80s, and those cards are generally known as the junk wax era. They were just crappy cards. But I do have two of them here that I brought. These are from 1984. One of them is a pretty decent card. It's in pretty decent shape. It's Dan Marino, rookie card, right? He's Hall of Fame quarterback. This other card is Walter Payton, who's Hall of Fame running back. But I don't know what I did to this card. As a kid growing up in the 80s and as a Packers fan, the Bears just owned us. And so I don't know if I just took it out on this card out of frustration or what. But this card is worthless. But yet I still have it in this plastic case, right? And from back there, this probably looks like a pretty impressive card. You're like, hey, that looks like a pretty decent card. And what this reminds me of, though, and this weekend, though, is our country rightfully... Whoa, oh, that card I wouldn't have cared about. It's Walter. Rightfully, this country kind of holds us veterans up, those that are currently serving, and showcases them and says, thank you for your service. But if I'm being honest, and if those of us that have served are being honest, we appreciate it, but we recognize that we're not in the condition of Dan Marino. We're more in the shape of this Walter Payton card. We're creased, our corners are bent, we're pretty beat up. But yet, in that condition, it's amazing how the Lord will use people, right? And the propensity that we have to make ourselves look better isn't just something that happens on a, you know, in this form. We all do that, don't we? We all like to make ourselves look to be better than we truly are. And there's a verse there's a couple verses that I want to go to. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, it says this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And this is Paul, and this follows after he's gone to the Lord three times with a thorn in his flesh. He says, Lord, take this away from me, like, get it gone. And God says, it's yours. And so Paul's acceptance of his weakness is a trusting in the faithfulness of God to do what he says he will do. Paul's acceptance of his weakness is a trusting in the faithfulness of God to do what he says he will do. Do you understand, or can you comprehend the depth of that trust, of that faith? Paul states that he is content in his weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. And if those things are happening to me, I'm just going to be honest with you. If you were to ask me, if those things are happening, and if somebody were to ask me, hey, are you content? My answer is an absolute no. Right? If those things are happening, and it's between life going well and things being all jacked up, what are you gonna, what's your propensity, right? Mine? No. The faithfulness of God is something that notionally, when we hear it, when we read about it, when somebody's talking about it, notionally we go, yep, absolutely, I believe the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah, amen. Raise your hands. But in practicality, in the here and now of things not going the way that we want them to, need them to, think they should be going, I'm going to talk for myself for a second. I'm going, maybe, hopefully, right? Do we truly believe when Paul says that God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness? No one likes weaknesses, right? Think about a time or situation in your life that you were in that weak position. Think about it. How's that make you feel? How does that time in your life, you don't get the warm fuzzies when you think about it, right? And the crazy thing is in that moment, in our weakness, he is strong. It doesn't matter what's happening. And oftentimes when we are in that weak position, the things that are happening to us, the world is going to look at us and go, that ain't good. That's not fair. That's not right. And you know what? The things that are happening to us absolutely can be hurtful. They are painful. There's no doubt about that. But scripture says in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, God will faithfully use whatever circumstances we've got going on for our good. And this just isn't some feel-good pop psychology trying to talk myself into, you know, hey, things are going to be good, right? I mean, let's be honest. If we're taking a look at scripture, do you think the disciples, when they were in the Sea of Galilee and that storm was raging, do you think they were looking at each other going, hey, dude, this is for our good. Bro, we're going to be all right. No, they were freaking out. And Jesus was actually in the boat with them at that point in time. God faithfully uses the situations of our life to show us his goodness and his mercy. In my notes, I said life might be difficult and situations might be unfair, but I have to change that. Life is difficult. Situations in life can be, will be, are unfair. Things might not be going the way that I want them to or how I have planned them to. But that does not mean that God is not good. One thing that I've had to learn in this, or one thing I've had to work through in this last year, is I've had to recalibrate kind of what my understanding of what good is. Because if we think about it, let's be honest, when we say we want good things in life, generally it entails, I'm going to talk for myself for a second. Generally that entails I've got a great job, good pay, life at home is going well, and I got no issues. Maybe that's just me. But maybe I have to recalibrate what good actually means. Or, and this, maybe I just need to learn that I have to give up control, that I'm not in control of things. But no matter what I'm going through, I am determining in my mind and in my spirit to live out the words of Paul. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But let's be honest. There are still times in our lives when we need reminders. I can read scriptures. I can read what the Word of God says, and I can believe it. But I still need that extra pick me up, that extra reminder of who God is. So my reminder, my instance in life where this happened was just recently. So I'm at the gym working on my dad bod, and I'm listening to music. And now usually when you think of somebody at the gym listening to music, you think they're listening to something that really gets them, you know, psyched up, jacked up, so that they're getting that swole on, they're feeling that burn. That used to be me, but within this last year, I've had to change where I'm listening to worship music. It's just weird to be trying to, you know, lift and be intense, and I got worship music going on. It's just weird. But there I was listening to my playlist, and a song came on, and I had to stop. And I had a hoodie on that I had to pull over my head because I started to cry. And if you just think of that, like, that is just weird to see a dude at the gym trying to work out and crying. Like, it's just not... It's not your idea of what happens at a gym. But there I am, listening to this song, being reminded of the faithfulness of God. And so what I want to do today is I want to give you something that, if you need a reminder, maybe this song will help you. So let's play that song.
It's been a long year it almost took me down, I swear. Life was so good, I'm not so sure we knew what we had. I'll never be the same man, I'll never feel like I felt before. It's been a hard year, it almost took me down. But when my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, but I'm a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully. I've had a hard time finding the blue in the skies above me. If I'm keeping it real, I've been half faking the happy they see. I may look like the same man, but I'm half the man I was. It's been a hard year, it almost took me down. But when my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, but I'm a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully. In my darkest hour, you met me, so quietly, so gently. You said you'd never leave, and you stood by your word. So quietly, so gently, in all my pain, you met me. You said you'd never leave, stood by your word. 'Cause when my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, but I'm a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully.
You know, I don't know if any of you know kind of the history behind that story, but the dude that wrote that, he lost his son about a year ago, a little over a year ago. And he could still write that song, put that song out there and saying that the Lord is faithful, right? Here's the thing about community and the value of community, of having a group of people that you believe and think the same way. We all go through struggles in life, right? I mean, that's a no-brainer. But the crazy thing is that when we go through those difficult times, the devil will play this nasty little trick on us where we'll think, oh, nobody can understand what I'm going through. Nobody knows what I'm dealing with. And we isolate ourselves and we withdraw from community so that we create this barrier where we're not around people because we don't want to be. But in a room this size with as many people that are in here, I can almost guarantee it that if there isn't somebody that's gone through almost the exact same thing you are or have, that they've been through something very, very similar. And as a community, we have the opportunity to help each other, to share those burdens with each other. And so here's what I ask of you. Today, you might be sitting here and can absolutely attest to the faithfulness of God. You have seen the worst of life, and you have seen God be faithful to you, for you, and so that you can make it through those difficult times. You can attest to the faithfulness of God. You can attest to the goodness of God. I have a favor to ask of you. Share your story with those that you live life with. Share the testimony of what Jesus has done in your life. Nothing can strengthen a fellow believer more than hearing another testify to the faithfulness of God. And then walk with them through life. Help them help them through with whatever they have going on. Today, you might be sitting here and you absolutely need a reminder of the goodness and faithfulness of God. Take this song, Faithfully by Toby Mac, and listen to it again. And listen to it again, and listen to it again, and again, and again, and again, as many times as you need to. Let it speak to you, and let it point you towards scriptures, such as Psalms 119, 89, and 90, that says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast." His word isn't changing, people. He is faithful. Or there's Deuteronomy 31:6 that says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Amen. And then we also have 1 John 1:9 that says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He is faithful. And then I came across one in a devotion this week after I sent in these slides that I need to throw in there as well. It's from the Book of Lamentations, and the Book of Lamentations is not a happy book. It's a book of sorrow, a book of pain, a book of people lamenting. And yet in the midst of that, you have Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24 that says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Again and again and again in scriptures, we see the faithfulness of God. And I'm going to be honest with you. Last night, and even today as I was driving here, I was struggling with wanting to talk about the faithfulness of God. Because all of us, as we have proclaimed Christianity, proclaimed our faith, people are watching, right? And when we go through those difficult times, they're watching to see if what we have said in the past is true. If we continue to say that God is good. If we continue to praise God in those difficult times. And so when I give a message talking about the faithfulness of God, and I determine in my mind, right? And I say to you, in my own life, I have seen the Lord's faithfulness and his goodness to me and for me. I've seen it. And I stand here today confessing to you to tell you all that the Lord is faithful. The Lord is good. And yet I struggled with wanting to say that today, because by saying that, that means in the future that when it hits the fan, because it will, that I will still say that the Lord is faithful. I will still say that the Lord is good. I feel like I'm setting myself up, that I'm putting a target on my chest to say, is that really what you want to do with your life? Yes. I have no choice. I have determined in my own heart, in my own mind, to live out those words that Paul says, that in, but I got to find it again. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is good. Please, as a community, come together. Uplift those that you might not know, your neighbors, not only here, but at home. Share the love of Christ with them, not only to reach them where they're at, but also to share with them what the Lord has done for you. Be the Lord's witnesses wherever you're at. Faithfully serve. I want to end with a word of prayer, so please stand with me and let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us and for us. Whatever may be going on in our lives, we read in scriptures that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. It's not some things, it's not maybe this, but that. All things work together for good for those who are called according to your purpose. Lord, help us to live those words so that our lives speak to this world that our trust is in you and your faithfulness. That no matter what is going on, our lives attest to this faithfulness that you promised in your word. We love you, Lord. Help us to live our lives for you. We pray these things in your most holy of names, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys be blessed. Have an awesome week. And I look forward to spending the meal with the veterans afterwards. Take care.